bring you greetings again in the name of Jesus. I have enjoyed being here with you this morning and worshiping together. Enjoyed the children's being brave to come up front. I understand that might have been one of the first times you've done that, something new, and enjoyed seeing you come up and share your memory verses. Learning Bible memory is something that is very good, and I am glad for the Bible memory that I did in school. You know, those things stick with me today, and sometimes I feel embarrassed of how little I could say verses by memory, but I do not have the reference. So I just challenge you to learn the reference with your verse, something I wish I would be able to do better in. We want to look at God's Word again this morning for a message. It has been somewhat traditional, I think, in a week of revival meetings to have a message related to the home on Sunday morning. At least that's my frame of reference, and I follow sort of that groove. But as I thought about and prayed about a message for this morning, at first I was thinking about marriage and bringing a message related to marriage, husband and wife relating together. And then I thought, well, no, maybe the Lord wants me to bring a message on family life. I really enjoy family life. Dad and mom and children and relating together. Well, that didn't seem to come together too. I sat and I labored and I thought and I wrote down notes, and it just didn't seem to come together. But then the Lord took my mind to this subject. So this is the title of the message, God's Word on Marriage and the Home. So that is the title of the message this morning, God's Word on Marriage in the Home. And as I thought about this, I believe I have five main points that I from the Word of God that I think are foundational doctrines, if you will, teachings of the Bible as it relates to marriage and the home. And we'd like to look at those this morning. And the burden of this message is for us that through this word this morning, that it could be an aid in strengthening our belief in the doctrine of the Word of God as it relates to marriage and home. Children. In a world of confusion and chaos, it is important that we, as God's people, maintain our confidence in the unchanging and our belief in the unchanging truth of the Word of God in relation to marriage and home life. Amen. It is foundational to happiness in the home and in society. There is such a breakdown today and confusion. People, as Romans says, they are living in delusion and deception and believing lies about facts of life. While men may try to change the laws of God to fit his lustful desires, it does not change the law of God. The law of God remains true and steadfast. God's work stands, as the songwriter says, as a rock unchanging, undaunted. It will stand the tests of time from beginning to end. God's word does not change. statistics tell us that in the U.S., that in the average marriage lasts 7 to 8 years. One statistic that I saw, they are but statistics, and that around 50% of these marriages end in divorce. Infidelity, money, and incompatibility are some of the reasons given why marriages end in divorce. God's design for marriage in the home is one that, if followed, brings rest, joy, and fulfillment to the human family. I stand before you not as one who has it all together. I cringe in bringing messages like this because I'm but a human, a father, trying to live my life according to the Word of God. And there's many areas in my home, my marriage, and in my home where we strive to attain and to do better in and to grow in. My home life and marriage is certainly not perfect. I'd like you to turn with me for scripture reading today to Ephesians chapter 5, first of all. You may have thought we're going to go here, but turn with me to Ephesians, the book of Ephesians, and chapter 5. I'm going to read a number of verses here, and then we're going to turn to Colossians chapter 3 and read a number of verses there. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning at verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Now, if you just turn a few pages back in our Bibles to Colossians chapter 3. Galatians, Ephesians, Colossians chapter 3 and verses 18 to 21. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Stop reading there. So in Ephesians chapter 5, if you just turn pages back there again, Ephesians chapter 5, we have verse 31 in italics. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This takes us back in our Bible to the beginning in Genesis, and I want to turn back there to Genesis and take a look at this verse. Back in the beginning, Let's turn back to Genesis chapter 2. And we're going to note this verse, Genesis chapter 2 and verse 24. Almost given verbatim the way it is in Ephesians. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 24. So we know the account here that the animals were made, and poor Adam, he is sitting there, and the animals are coming past Adam. And they're filing past him, as I understand it. And the last animal goes past, and Adam is like, this is not going to work. There is no one found suitable. None of those animals were found suitable for Adam. It's not going to work. And Adam named them all, verse 20, verse 20. For Adam there was not found a help meet for him, a helper compatible to him. Well, we know the story. A deep sleep, God placed a deep sleep upon Adam. And God took out a rib. He took a rib out of Adam, and he made a woman, and he brought her unto Adam. Verse 23, Adam says, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Verse 24, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. The first foundational doctrinal teaching of marriage that I want to leave with us today is that marriage is designed by God. Marriage is designed by God. Furthermore, therefore shall a man leave father and mother. The man is to leave father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Oneness in marriage. There is a leaving of the homestead, and there is a cleaving to his wife, and the beginning of a new relationship of oneness. So many disturbances are caused in marriages from a man failing to leave father and mother and to cleave. Foundational doctrine is marriage is designed by God. One man, one woman for one lifetime. Man is made in the likeness of God. We see that in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. And the Bible tells us that God created male and female, created he them. Gender decided and created by God. We can look at Jesus' teaching in Matthew 19, verses 4 to 6. Jesus teaches us on the permanence of marriage. And in Mark chapter 10, verses 1 to 12, I'm not going to take the time to read it, but it would be good if we did. Jesus teaches us on the permanence of marriage. It is through God's design of marriage that children are to be brought into the world in the context of marriage between one man and one woman. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 28. You could see that. But in Mark chapter 10 and verses 1 to 12, Jesus teaches us on the permanence of marriage and that divorce has been granted, divorce has been an innovation by man and not of God's original intent. God's original intent is for man and one woman to live married life for one lifetime. And divorce is not God's intent. It is man's innovation. Now, I think it's important for us to understand that God established marriage as an earthly institution portraying Christ's relationship with the church, the bride of Christ. And I bow my head in shame and embarrassment when I think of how I have failed to portray Christ's image in my marriage from time to time. Ponder that, husbands, men. God designed marriage. And as we live together as husband and wives, and we relate together in our respective roles, can those around us, of the church or other, of the world, of the church, our close relationships, as they look at our union, our marriage, can they say, that's really how Christ and the church operate? If you look at their marriage, you can see a resemblance of Christ's church, the husband sacrificing. Well, we're going to get on to that in just a bit. God's design of marriage has provided a beautiful way for the physical and emotional needs of man and woman to be met in a way that complements each other. Oh, the beauty when both man and woman are dedicated to the Lord Jesus Christ first of all, and then in that love relationship with their Lord, love and relate to each other. Foundational point number one, as we stated, marriage is designed by God. Moving on to number two. This may seem like a cold, hard statement, a cold, hard doctrinal truth. But it is not that. It is not that way. Number two, wives are called to live in submission to their husbands. Foundational doctrinal truth of the Word of God in marriage. Wives are called to live in submission to their husbands. Ephesians 5, verses 22 and 24. Colossians 3:18, as we've read, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. 1 Peter 3, verse 1, calls for wives to be in subjection to their husbands. Daughters of Sarah, I believe it says there. Wives see that they reverence their husbands. What does this mean? God has ordained, in His holy word we see, God has ordained an authority structure. Think with me. There is God the Father, there's God the Son, and there is God the Holy Spirit. They work together, they operate in the Trinity. We understand that. God the Father and God the Son, and I don't have time, we're not going to go into it deep, but it's something to think about. How they relate together. They all agree in one. When Jesus was here on the earth, He said, I came to do the Father's will. Authority structure. Jesus said, I'm leaving. So the Holy Spirit is going to come. There is a working together in a unit in the Trinity. The God the Father, one. A working together. So it is in home life. There is a working together. There is God, Christ, man, woman, and children. This is not a domineering, a dictator type of relationship. That is not what we're talking about. We're talking about an order, an authoritative order. Wives, men and women, husbands and wives are equal to God in their state of their relationship with God. They're on an even plane. One is not better than the other. But the wives are called to live in subjection to their husband, who is called to be the leader and the head of the marriage relationship. God has ordained the authority structure of the home to be such that the husband is the head of the wife, of his wife, and the wife is his help meet, help compatible to him, supplying for him the other part. A wife who fills her God-given role in respect and submission to her husband imparts to her children an invaluable gift. A wife who fills her God-given role in respect and submission to her husband imparts to her children an invaluable gift. Submission can sound like a tough word. God's plan is not for husbands to rule over their wives in a dictator, superior type of relationship, but for the husband to relate to her in love and honor. This will aid in helping his wife to submit to his leadership, where he takes his place, and we'll look at that in just a moment. A healthy marriage does not focus so much on command and submission as it does on love and respect. A healthy marriage does not focus so much on command and submission as it does on love and respect. We're talking about marriage, Christian marriage, marriage as the Bible teaches. God's blessing rests upon the wife, upon the woman who seeks to submit herself to her husband's leadership and live with him in honor and respect. And when Adam and Eve fell into sin in the garden, something happened. And we know our sin nature came into the world. And you know what happened? I believe man now, we tend to be passive. Just passive men. And maybe we can say on the sister's side, there's a tendency to be aggressive and lead. Something happened. And these forces of the flesh war in our spirits and in our relationships. Maybe you don't know what I'm talking about. Maybe you do. God said in Genesis 2:18 that he would make a help meet for Adam. Thank you, wives, for being your husband's help meet. Yes, a help suitable. When you go to New Mexico from Pennsylvania, you find out that you miss your help suitable. When you have some towels and washcloths that you would like to wash, sometimes you need to call your help suitable, your wife, and say, now, how do I run this? I don't know what I'm doing. Well, you better do a video call so I can see what it says. Yes. And I had service good enough to do a video call. And my wife helped me wash a few simple towels and washcloths. And then I thought about it, how, you know, cooking is something I really enjoy. I can make a Sunday lunch. Oh, yeah, I really enjoy that. Now, it's not going to be super fancy, but it's going to have meat and potatoes and vegetable and, yeah. But when it comes to towels, washing, it's a field I do not know very well. Number three, foundational point. Doctrinal truth related to marriage and home. Husbands are called to love their wives as Christ loved the church. And I talked about this some already. But what a tall order for us as husbands. To love his wife as Christ loved the church. How was that? Well, in selfless sacrifice. Thinking the verse that comes to my mind now, is it in Romans, that talks about scarcely will one dare to die for someone who they love, but even Christ died for us, we were unlovely. There was no good in us. Love is deep. It is deeper than external beauty. It runs deep. It's a love that loves and chooses to love because we have taken this bride as our wife and we're going to love her. We have chosen to love her. A husband in his love for his wife will be careful in how he relates to her. The verse that tells us, husbands, love your wives. Colossians 3:19. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. We do well to ponder that verse, husbands, and take it to heart. Inside of the nature of myself is a desire to get something in return. Just something in return. And if I feel that I'm not getting in return what I feel like I should be getting in return, there's that root of bitterness that wants to spring up. And it ruins relationships. If allowed to happen. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Husband is the divinely appointed head or authority over his wife and leadership. This is leadership. Providing leadership. When your daughter, who is of age, that she buys dress material, she wants to make a dress, and she comes to you, Dad, and she says, how do you like this dress material? Do you like this? Talk. Say something. Either you like it or you do not like it. Either it is suitable or it is not suitable. And if it is not suitable, say so. If it is suitable, say so. Leadership. Husbands, we are the savior or protector of our wife. This is our God-given role and responsibility. Both physically and spiritually, the protector of our wife. Sometimes we need to say, you know, honey, are you sure about those plans for this week that you have to do? Are you sure it's not too much? Are you sure? A savior of the body. Sometimes she needs to ask us those questions. Spiritually, watching out for her spiritually. Love is demonstrated not so much by what it says, but through the actions it prompts. Through the actions it prompts. Husbands are to love their wives as Christ loved the church. Sacrificially, giving of ourselves with no strings attached. two more important responsibilities.
Well, yes, Ephesians 5 and verse 29. I want to look at this a little bit. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. Two words. Nourish simply means to take care of. Husbands, you're to take care of your wife. Cherish means to foster. What does that mean? To foster. To foster means to encourage or promote the development of, to help to succeed. Husbands, do you nourish and cherish your wife? Do you help her, encourage her, and promote the development of her in her role and in what she does? Encouraging her and helping her to succeed. 1 Peter 3:7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto your wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Heirs together of the grace of life, giving not knowledge, honor unto your wife as unto the weaker vessel, not because it's something negative and she's to be looked down on? Absolutely not. Sometimes I see wives pulling a load while the husband is off doing something else. And you wonder. Giving honor unto the wife is the weaker vessel. You know, there are things for us husbands, that we need to shoulder. We need to take it, and we need to bear it. It is our responsibility. Husbands, point number three was husbands are called to love their wives as Christ loved the church. As I stated before, it is in the context of marriage, the marriage relationship, that God has designed and ordained that children should be brought into the world, born into the world. Psalm 127, verse 3 to 5. Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. I would like to raise a voice. And this almost sounds like a negative. You talk about raising a voice against. But I would like to promote family and family life. Mom and dad and family. Under God's sovereign hand. We all understand, those of us who are mature and of age, we all understand that in our weakness as humanity, God is sovereign. But I want to promote family life. So, foundational doctrinal point number four. Assuming that a home has husband and wife, they have been married, and God has brought into their marriage union children. Foundational point number four. Children are to be trained by their parents. You say, preacher, we know that. Well, it's a foundational point of family living. Ephesians chapter 6 and verses 1 to 4. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in nurture and admonition of the Lord. The primary burden of child rearing, I believe, as I understand Scripture, rests on the shoulders of fathers. It rests on our shoulders as leader of the home. We are to bring our children up in nurture and admonition of the Lord. We can turn back to Deuteronomy chapter 6,
verses 6 to 7. The children of Israel were taught and instructed to teach their children diligently the commandment of God. Proverbs 22 and verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Proverbs 22:15. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. The biblical pattern of effective parental training of children emphasizes a balance of instruction and discipline. There is instruction and there is discipline. When both administered in love, and both are to be ministered in love and respect. Children are to be trained by their parents. It takes time to train. And I fear in our culture of busyness, sometimes we have fast food training. It's just fast food training. Training takes time. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. As I read in Proverbs 22, one of the things as parents we need to understand is that foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. A child comes into our home and is born into our home, it is as if its heart is wound up with a ball of string in foolishness. A two-year-old, what's mine is mine, what's yours is mine, and everything is mine. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. And we need to, as parents, it is our responsibility to instruct and to train and to free the child from the bondage of its own emotional self. A child left to himself brings his mother to shame, we're told. Parents who love their children will train and discipline them with love and affection. I have seen and I have experienced that sometimes a child's behavior is showing up in a way that it's just simply really calling out for dad, do you love me enough that you're going to do something about this? They don't know it in their own minds, I don't think so, really. Sometimes they might, sometimes not. But are you going to, dad, do you really love me? If you do, dad, if you really do love me, they're not saying this to you, but behavior is saying it. Parents, in discipline and training, take time for your child. As you correct and as you administer discipline, do it in God's prescribed way, with love and tenderness. The child will be won to your heart. In a world today, there is so much abuse and wrong behavior. Let us be free from that, but bring our children up in nurture and admonition of the Lord, hearts of love. A child not only needs to know what is not acceptable behavior, he also needs to be instructed in what is proper behavior. Not only know what is negative, but also know what is right. He should not live up always with a fear that, well, if I disobey dad or mom, this is going to happen. But he should grow up with an understanding that, yes, if I disobey, there will be a discipline.
But if I obey, there's going to be happiness and joy. There must be a balance. One of the important lessons we need to teach our children is that as parents, we are needing to be obedient to our leader, who is God. I remember myself as I talked with my children. I remember telling them, you know, Daddy needs to live in obedience to the Bible too. I am not my own ruler. I am in subject to God. I must follow God's commands. God is the head of our home, and we follow Him, not our own whims. Oh, I think it's so important that in our homes, we point our family, our husbands, fathers, we point our wife and our children to God the Father. And as we're faced with huge things, as we talked about the other evening, or even just small things, we pray as a family and we say, God, direct us. You need a school teacher for next year. We do too. But there's these big things and the children are, well, who's going to be our teacher? How do we know? Like, look, God knows. We're going to pray to God. He will give us. We pray for things that we lose. We pray for things they lose. We pray for them. Parents, if you have never done it, but I'm sure you have, but when you're faced with those needs in a child that you do not know what is going on, just pray for the child. Maybe the child is retired for the night and is sleeping in their bed and you just feel this burden. Go over and kneel beside their bed and just pray for them. Pray for them in their hearing. Foundational point number 5. This is for you, children. Children are called to obey their parents. Along with obedience comes honor thy father and respect thy mother. Children, obey. Proverbs 1, 8 and 9. My son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. That ornament is a thing of beauty. It's not a chain of bondage, but it's a thing of beauty. Proverbs 4, verses 1 to 9. We will not read that all. But hear ye, children, the instruction of a father. For children do have the privilege to hear their... Let me start over. For children to have the privilege to hear, there must be a father who is willing to speak. The peril, capital P-E-R-I-L, of so many homes is that dad does not speak. Dad is passive, and in the process of time, mother becomes frustrated and feels the need to be the one to speak. Consistency is very important in training our children and in teaching them right from wrong. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. That is His right. It's your blessing. God's blessing rests upon you. Now, in conclusion, just some thoughts as they came to me. Concluding thoughts as we could wrap up this message. Some encouragements for husbands and wives and children. Husbands, love your wives. Love sacrificially with no strings attached. Give your wife honor and seek to understand her. Love the Lord with your whole heart most of all. And finally, talk, and talk. in relating to your wife. It's something we do not do very well with. Times I've asked my wife, are we talking? Not really. We're not really talking yet. Be sensitive to her needs. You get what I'm trying to say? Our wives like to talk and communicate. They like to talk about us. They like to talk about the deep things. We don't get there as easy. Husbands, love your wives. Wives, mothers, reverence your husband and submit to his leadership as best you know how. Stand by your husband, encourage him and support him as he endeavors to lead. It is not so much in the amount of words that you have to say, but in your presence by his side that will give him encouragement. You know, one of the most invigorating, encouraging things in my life, I can just speak from a man's dad's perspective, and I seek to learn to know my wife's perspective. One of the most invigorating, encouraging things for me is when my wife just simply is shoulder to shoulder with me. Just come and sit and watch me fix the mower. It's great. You do not need to say anything. Just my wife and I talking about. You know, honey, you just sit and read a book. That's wonderful. Men are shoulder to shoulder. Women are face to face in relationships. It's not so much in the amount of words. I said that. Guide the house, mothers, in the duties that God and only a godly mother can do. Love the Lord with all your heart. Oh, I want to say, today we need mothers who are mothers in the home. My mother did not have driver's license. I have fond memories, and to this day, I understand now at a deeper measure of the gift and the privilege I had with the mother that I had. Because my mother was at home. She was there. Children, obey your parents. Love and honor them. Listen to what they have to tell you. Give them respect. Thank your parents from time to time for what they do. And encourage them, help with the work, and love the Lord with all your heart. May God help us to have happy homes, to have happy marriages, and through it all, be useful as a unit to God wherever He calls us. Let us kneel to pray.